Secretary McNamara on 9-1.
First, I just received word the Senate committee knocked out that Section 608 requiring we take base clothing to Congress. Voted 10-3. Secondly, we did get distributed to all of the staff members and senior people associated with our Armed Services Appropriations Committee, the B-52 bomb damage assessment analysis this morning. And we've got a special meeting that may not be briefed by our defense intelligence agency people for this afternoon.
That's good. Now, I think that you ought to spend some time with your friend, Mr. Kennedy. I don't want this repeated to him, but for your information, I think you're the principal officer affected. I think that he's functioning in this Vietnam field, Dominican field, a little bit overtime with he and some of his stooges, very much against us. And I think his general feeling is that should not have asked for the $700 million appropriation, and by asking for it and saying that we'll construe this as support of our position, that he wanted to demonstrate his independence, and while he wouldn't vote against it, that he would make the speech that he did. And as a consequence, he's catching up Javits a little bit and different ones around. Certain senators tell me that they talked to him in the cloakroom. They hear little snide remarks about the situation. I think it could very appropriately be said that the Defense Department took the position that we were spending more than we had appropriated. We had ample authority under the existing law to transfer that money, and that's what we planned to do. We told them that. We told them if they wanted to, we could ask for the money now, or transfer it and ask for it later. That after explaining the pros and cons, and all we wanted them to know was that we were digging into an account that was going to be overdrawn. We'd have to come back and be frank and candid with them. And Ford made the suggestion we ask for it now, that he thought that was a better way to do it. He had been fiscally responsible and worked with us in the House committee. And we thought that it would give an opportunity to anybody wanted to debate it and discuss it. We didn't object to that. We're not quarreling with the debates. The New York Times been advocating debates, so we sent it up there, and we don't object to what he said about it. But we do want to him to know our reasons for doing it, and they were based upon an attempt to keep substantial support behind us in the Congress. Now, each day, the New York Times and he's conscious of it, and they're going to be agitating at Javits, and Bobby's going to be in the background because he operates the deal that way, but they're going to be asking for a new congressional debate and a new resolution of support, and tell him that we've been willing to ask for that, and we don't think it would be wise, but that we have asked Fulbright if he thinks we ought to have a new resolution, and we've asked Mansfield, and we've asked Dirksen, and we've asked Russell. And they are the men in this field in the Senate. You'd like to ask him if he thinks a new resolution would be wise. That's so much on that general feeling, because that's in the columns and the stories and the newspaper articles and so on and so forth. And they, of course, when they talk to him, they come run back and talk to us and so forth. And, I think there's another tack, too. I think you'll talk to him about the new pause that's been proposed. The New York Times proposing a pause. And Mac has kind of had his feeling of pause. I understand he's talked to you about the pause. Now, if we had any indication that pause would do any good, be fine, but we're afraid that if we do pause, we got hell hit knocked out of us while it did. I think the American people would be awfully critical of us.
Oh, I don't think now's the time.
And I just think we ought to talk to him about it, because this is where most of our real trouble's coming from. It goes back, if you'll remember, to the real flare-up came on this statement, this $700 million.
Yeah, right.
And that's my intelligence people tell me that that's the backbone of it. And since it's your 700 million, and since you heard the Ford thing, and since you know that we think that it's all right for them to debate it, we don't object to McGovern and Church and them. If they want to say these things, say them. We don't agree with them. We don't think they help. But we have never asked one senator not to speak, and we have asked him. We put on the pause, but see what else he thinks ought to be done. I think that's very potentially dangerous to our general cause on Vietnam. I think that in time it's going to be like the Yale professor said, that it's going to be difficult for us to very long prosecute effectively a war that far away from home with the divisions that we have here, and particularly the potential divisions. And that's really had me concerned for a month, and I'm very depressed about it because I see no program from either defense or state that gives me much hope of doing anything except just praying and gasping to hold on during monsoon and hope they'll quit. I don't believe they're ever going to quit, and I don't see how we have any way of either a plan for victory militarily or diplomatically. And I think that's something you and Dean got to sit down and try to see if there's any people that we have in those departments that can give us any program or plan or hope, or if not, we got to see if we have you go out there or somebody else go out there and take one good look at it and say to these new people, now you changed the government about the last time, and this is it. Call the Buddhists and the Catholics, general, and everybody together, and say we're going to do our best and be sure they're willing to let new troops come in and be sure they're not going to resent them. If not, why, y'all can run over us and have a government of your own choosing. But we just can't take these changes all the time. And that's the Russell plan. Russell thinks we ought to take one of these changes to get out of there. I don't think we can get out of there with our treaty like it is, and with what all we've said, and I think it would just lose us the face of the world, and I'd just shudder to think what people all up and say. But if we're going to keep getting AP pictures out of there, and stories out of there like they are, and if our best friends, who are supposed to be allies of ours, are going to take the position, they're going to foment it now. Javits says, we face a big question in this country on stepping up this activity, especially moving ground troops in, which now rumored division strength to undertake on the ground in North Vietnam, possibly what we're doing in the air. Any such plans with this administration must be thoroughly explored by the Congress. He said, Johnson does not speak for himself, but operates instead through White House and Pentagon spokesmen. People are not being informed, he says, about the Vietnam situation. Javits and three other Republicans spoke on a radio committee. He said that any large-scale U.S. troop commitments would require, quote, a new congressional debate and a new congressional resolution of support, unquote, for President Johnson. So I think that's something you better devote some of your attentions to, and I think you also better talk to your military people when you're talking to Wheeler. Say, now, can we, the President wants some kind of plan that gives us some hope of victory, and I guess he'll go back to the bombings and talk to Dean and see if we ever... I can't see anything that they do but just laugh at us now. Both you men and you and I both have made statements on this Wilson mission telling him to go to hell.
Yeah, that's true.
And
no indication they want to talk now.
I think Wilson will just screw up things more when he comes over here. We've got to let him. But he'll come over here and go everywhere else, but never get in there. I think that somehow or other we ought to condition his coming over here on acceptance that they'll see him over there, don't you?
I got you to do that.
Well, can we say to Bruce, now we're very anxious to work on this thing if you have any chance of seeing him at all. But if you don't go over there and just make a big speech dividing our country. I don't see any good that's going to come talk to us. We've told him we're part.
I don't think you can keep him out of here, and I don't think I'd try. I think I would try it when he's here to have him avoid. avoid saying anything that would divide the country, I think we can accomplish that. But I don't think he can keep him out of here. I think it'd be a mistake to try.
Well, if he's not going to get in there, what's served by his coming here?
Well, avoiding...
Why shouldn't his mission cable the respective captains for appointments before he undertakes them? Got a blank check from us, we're willing to negotiate. He doesn't have to come here to find out.
He'll probably be accepted in Moscow, and probably not in Hanoi and Peking.
That's right.
It'd be awfully difficult, I think, for you to say, well, you can't come here unless you're going to be accepted in Hanoi and Peking.
Well, I don't think we can ever say that you can't come. I think we can say, though, that we just hope that you stress the fact that they haven't accepted. Hold that up for a few days to world inspection.
Well, I think that's right. That we can do. And when he's here, I think that we can assume and expect him to act in a way that won't cause controversy inside the country. But I think it would be wrong, Mr. President, to either try to or give him any reason to believe that you tried to keep him out here.
Well, I think you ought to, you can't keep him out here. Nobody wants to keep him out here. But I do think that the point ought to be made to him that his mission can't be successful if he can't get the others here, and he ought to make that point well and long, and he ought to consider whether any good's going to be served by his traveling in the light of the fact they will not see him. Okay.